Well, hey, Dale. How are you?
Long time no see.
That's right. Hey, I'm really excited about our new series that we're pressing into on this episode of Walking Points. So we're going to do an overview of where we're going over the next 6 weeks, yeah. Or maybe 5 weeks,
five
right?
5 weeks, yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to it, and it's going to be good, not just for our folks here in the Southside United Methodist community, but maybe all around the city and the region, et cetera. I think it'd be a good thing for people to go through, period.
Yeah, I think so. It's a spiritual life checkup, which is just another way of saying spiritual inventory. There are a lot of those, but one of the things we're going to do is we'll talk more about this in just a second, spiritual life checkup. But it's divided up into five parts, and so each week you and I are going to try to tackle one of those parts and do it in a week advance so that folks can see it and prepare for their small groups. And if there are anybody who is in leadership who's going to be leading one of those small groups and is not quite sure how to tackle a particular question or the theme or whatever it may be,
right,
hopefully we can pass on some wisdom and some help, hopefully, and be an encouragement to them and equip them so they can do a better job of leading the group.
So we're going to be doing this during the season of Lent. And right. So what is that? What is the Lent?
The Lent is a time of preparation for Easter.
Right.
Really, it's a time of spiritual preparation. A lot of times, different spiritual disciplines are practiced, such as fasting and prayer. It's a time of repentance, and it's a time of really just preparing yourself for Good Friday, to be sure, but really to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord on Easter Sunday. And it's 40 days from Ash Wednesday to Holy Saturday, and it is a, not counting Sundays, because Sundays are really to be looked at as little mini
Sabbath,
little mini Sabbath or mini celebrations of the resurrection.
Right. So if you're looking at your calendar, doing the math, there you go.
There you go. Yeah. It's like no one's ever accused me of being good at math. So we'll have to see how that goes. But it is, it's those 40 days. It really is a time of preparation. And so that really is what this is all about. It's, you can do this, a little spiritual life checkup on your own. And that would be fine. And you could get some value out of that. But our thinking here at the church is if you did it with brothers and sisters in Christ and worked through it with them,
right?
Not sharing things you don't want to share, but perhaps there's an area that you'd like to learn more about that you just don't understand and someone in your group does, you can talk about it together, pray about it. You might even want to be, you know, ask for some accountability in some circumstances as well, which is one of those double-edged swords. It's so good for you, and it is so painful sometimes at the same time. So that's kind of what the thinking is here.
So through this process, when it's all said and done, hopefully our goal is that folks will have a greater understanding of where they are in a relationship with God, a real relationship with God, and how personal is that. And this checkup stirs up a lot of things that maybe you didn't see as something you've never addressed before, perhaps.
Right.
And so we want everyone to go through this in light of God has very good plans for us, and he'd love to talk about things that maybe this checkup stirs up.
Yeah.
And so that is personal, but it's, like you said, Dale, it's good to go through with someone else to maybe even talk about it and pray about it together.
Yeah, and one of the things, several things I want to mention related to that, is this is supposed to, this is not supposed to be a guilt-inducing exercise where you beat yourself up because, oh, I'm doing really lousy in this particular area, and oh, I'm a bad Christian, and that's not the goal at all. Mm-hmm. Instead, we're all growing, or we ought to be growing, perhaps I should say it that way. God wants us to grow. He wants us to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. He wants us to look like Jesus. And that is a progressive movement. The fancy phrase is progressive sanctification. You know, we want to grow in the likeness of Christ, and it's a day by day, week by week, month by month. It doesn't all happen at one time.
Right.
And sometimes there are some steps back from time to time. But what we want to do with this is celebrate those areas where we are growing, and we want to recognize those areas where, gosh, I feel like I am growing. You know, right. I look at myself now compared to where I was maybe 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. How's it going?
Yeah.
And celebrate those. But then where those areas of struggle, you know, pop up on our radar screen, you know, we might realize, gosh, you know, I'm not growing in this area like I'd like to. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure I understand how to.
Yeah.
And that's where being in community can really be a blessing, where you can have, you know, some folks that maybe they're a little bit farther along the journey than you are in that particular area. It may be that they didn't have that exact struggle, but maybe they had another one, and what they learned from that, they can pass on to you. So we're really, it's a community project in that respect. And so I think that's a key idea. So I don't want anyone looking at this as, you know, a time to beat yourself up. That's really not the goal.
Well, it's also interesting, isn't it, that when we share something that we struggle with and maybe have never really discussed it with someone, whatever it is tends to lose its grip on us. And there's power in relationship with one another. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful that this can help build relationships horizontally as well as vertically, you know, that we grow closer to God, and then he's also going to draw us closer one to another and be in real, you know, authentic kind of relationships.
Right. And the other thing about this that I want to mention is we all have blind spots in our faith. And usually it's kind of back to what I was just saying, those areas where we are moving in a forward direction. You know, we see it, we're really praising God for it, and it's really blessing our lives and hopefully the lives of others. But then there are other areas maybe they're not even on our radar screen. We don't even know, I'm supposed to grow in that area too. I didn't even know that. Mm-hmm. So what I did with these five parts of this checkup is to present sort of a holistic view of the Christian faith.
Right.
Because what we tend to do, men and women, but I know men especially do this, and we've talked about this before in another podcast, we compartmentalize our faith.
Right.
So, you know, our work life is here in this compartment, and our family life is here in this compartment, and our spiritual life is here, and our financial life, and they don't really relate. In fact, in the first part, we're going to be talking about what it means to have a God-centered life. And to me, that's one of the best questions to ask yourself regarding whether or not you're living a compartmentalized life, or is all life kind of centered and grounded in God? Mm-hmm. And that's, I guess we can kind of move into that now, but that's going to be a key idea. But I wanted to say that there are two spiritual life checkup booklets, but they are the very same on the inside. Mm-hmm. There is not a bit of difference on the inside. The only difference on the outside is that one is really boring, and it's the one that I did. And then the other one looks really nice on the front cover, is fantastic, and it's the one I did not do. Jeanette Yates did that. So, but on the inside, so I don't want anyone to get jealous that you got the pretty one and I got the ugly one.
I have the brown one.
The brown one. Well, you know, to me, it's it's really the right touch for the Lenten season. You time of self-denial. But anyway, so they're the same inside. So if someone gets one and they're in a group with someone who has a different one, you're looking at the same stuff, same pages, everything.
There may be some book envy going on, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, that's something to pray about.
Yeah.
So
it's a part of the whole process.
That's exactly, and really that's why we did it.
So if you had to sort of take us through where we're going, why don't you go where we're going on the over the course of these 5 weeks, what are we going to go over?
Yeah, well, the first week, we're going, which will be next week for folks that are hearing this. So if you're listening to it today or in the next few days, you'll be kind of prepared and ready to go for next week. But the five parts of the spiritual life checkup, part one is the devotional life. Part two is the intellectual life. Part three, struggles and temptations. Part four, loving God by serving others. And then the other one is, part five is really kind of bringing it all together, final thoughts for reflection, and there's a few odds and ends kind of questions there. But having the five parts, you know, and you can't do justice to the totality of the Christian life, but hopefully by emphasizing different aspects during different weeks, you can focus only on, so you may have a week where man, that is not your patch of grass. You know, but you kind of have to live with that for that week and think through that and pray through that and reflect on it.
Right.
And one other thing I think is important to mention here, someone may be doing this on their own,
right?
You know, in preparation for their small group. And then they may get to a question and have no idea what the question even means. And that's a value as well.
Right.
So that when you get back to your small group and you say, you know, I don't have a clue what Dale was asking on question three, that is worth the conversation and, you know, digging in, and hopefully somebody there does.
Right.
But I think that's important because, you know, there are lots of things, you know, that we don't know and, and that we just haven't had the opportunity or even knew that was something we needed to learn more about.
That's right.
And so this is just a way of bringing these things to our attention so that we can begin, you know, the work of growing in that area. You know, and this is not a one-time thing and we'll be done. You know, this really is a lifelong pursuit of growing in Christ likeness. So this isn't something by the end of Lent you should have everything figured out and be just like Jesus.
Right.
It's not about that. And the other thing I guess is really important, this seems probably more preliminary stuff than I thought we would be talking about, but I think it's important. This is not a self-help tool. This has to be saturated in grace, and it has to be a work of the Holy Spirit. We were talking about that in our men's group this week, you know, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is something before you do on your own and before you do in your small group, pray about it.
Right.
Say, Lord, fill us with your grace, fill us with your Spirit. Lead our conversation. You be the teacher. You be the counselor.
Right.
You be the helper, because you know, there's a lot of great self-help books out there that have nothing to do with any of that.
Right.
And they're not all bad or anything, but this is not that. This is this ought to be saturated in the gospel of Jesus Christ, who he is, our relationship with him that he enabled us to have and that we are able to have because the Holy Spirit brings us into that relationship and fills us and enables us to grow each and every day. So I think that's an important thing to mention at the beginning.
Right.
That this is not a, you know, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps kind of theology.
It's the opposite of that, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
And you mentioned that in the Colossians text. It's in one of these, which say, in the same way that you received Christ, which is this gift.
Right.
We've done nothing to earn it.
Right.
In the same way we are to live out this life where God continues to bless us by his grace and there's no way we earn that ongoing favor,
right?
But he continues to work in us by the power of his Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So I think if someone kind of takes away those key points that we just talked about as they begin this, I think that's going to take a lot of stress off their shoulders because
that's right.
This is not about performance. This is not about how good you are. And this is certainly not about earning God's favor. We do this sort of thing because we already are God's children.
Right.
And he loves us and has done a great work for us in Christ. And this is just our gratitude, our response.
Right.
I love our liturgy and communion. You know, it's our joyful obedience to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So I think that's what that's this
good.
Is about.
That's good.
So on that note, the very first week is called Part One, The Devotional Life. And this, the very first question you and I could talk for the next 2 or 3 weeks about, but we can't. We can't. But it's called, When and How Did You Become a Christian? And that may be off-putting to some people, or it may be, well, I didn't have this radical burning bush experience. Do I still count? am I still a Christian? Now, that point is not that you've had the same experience as anyone else.
Right.
It's that you, I mean, because I grew up in the church. I think I've loved Jesus as far back as I can remember. I'm certainly trying to do that in the lives of my children, you know, that they would look back and never know a time they didn't know Jesus and love him. But having said that, I hope there's also a time where they realize that they've moved from the faith of their father and mother to their own faith.
Right.
And that he is their Savior. He is their Lord. They are living for him. They've put their own trust in his finished work on the cross and trusted in his resurrection. I mean, that it's theirs. Even if they say, you know, on this date and at this time, you know, I went to a Billy Graham crusade and I did it on, you know, exactly this way.
That's right.
I'm less concerned about that. Now, some people have that experience and I praise God for that. I know in college I was a little jealous of people who had that experience because I felt like I was missing something. But as I've grown in my faith and learned more, I've realized, you know, some of us have the walk to Emmaus experience, and some of us have the walk to Damascus. Mm-hmm. You know, some of us, like the Apostle Paul, you know, we get blinded,
right?
Hear a voice, you know, we have a big experience. And others of us are just walking, conversing,
right,
and breaking bread before we realize, oh, it was the Lord that we were walking with
the whole time.
The whole time. So I think that's a key idea there. And so I don't want that question. I think everyone needs to address that, because if you don't feel like, have I given my life to Christ? Have I placed my trust in Him?
Right.
If you can't affirm that, well, then I think you need to do business with the Lord in that sense.
Yeah.
And I know that you and I, and anybody else here on staff, would be happy to talk with folks about that. But don't get caught up in the big experience.
Yeah.
What was your experience with that? Is that, was yours similar to mine, or did you?
Yeah, I too grew up in the church, but it's funny that I can remember a moment when something became different, and it was not within the church, but it was in a an outing that the church had organized, and it was through another organization, Young Life. I was at a Young Life camp. It was a spring evening when I was 16, and on a basketball court, you know, in just the most unchurch-like setting, where I think the culmination of all those experiences growing up in the church, which I had great parents, a great community, all that impacted that moment. And from that point on, I think I began to realize how things were different.
Yeah.
And having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, accepting Him personally as my Lord and my Savior, and where I found my value and identity and all that. Now, of course, from that moment on, and from before that, God's continued to flesh that out, what that looks like.
Right. I know John Wesley used to say, yeah, I mean, you can look back and affirm what God has done in your life, and perhaps where you came to Christ, and maybe you had different punctuation marks along the way where you felt like you grew closer. But his question always came back to, are you in Christ now? Are you walking faithfully with Christ now? And certainly what has happened in the past is the foundation for that, because something, you know, John 3 talks about we must be born again. So we must be new creatures in Christ for all that to take place. But having said that, I think some people can get confused with the emotion of an experience. And if you aren't continuing to walk in Christ and grow, that ought to at least alert you to ask some questions of yourself. Am I growing in Christ? Am I in Christ? And so it's a good way to sort of check yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to tweak where needed. And if we are God's children, then the Holy Spirit's going to do that work, isn't He?
No, well, and He's really good at it. Yeah. That's the great thing.
he's very good at it.
He knows us, knows our past, our present, and our future.
Right.
And is always, He's our advocate, meaning He's for us. And He's our counselor, meaning He speaks our language relevant to whatever we're experiencing. And that's a good point, Dale, is that wherever we maybe don't have a clear understanding where we've been, it's the question is for now. And even though it's when did you become a Christian, the real takeaway from this whole first chapter is, where are you right now?
Right.
And I think God's always coming to us, not with any condemnation of the past, and He's not fearful of the future. He's speaking to us in the moment.
Right.
And that's the big takeaway with these questions, I think.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good way to sort of summarize the first chapter. It's the devotional life, which really is stressing how is your, you know, we use this language a lot, and the Bible doesn't use the words, although I think it does communicate the idea of a personal relationship.
Right.
In other words, it's not just sort of dry intellectual belief alone. Now, the next one's going to talk about the intellectual life. That's going to be important, that idea of renewing our minds. But for now, it's love for God. What does it mean to live a God-centered life? You know, what is your prayer life like? There is the question, you know, how often do you go to worship? You know, it may be in small groups, you don't even talk about that. The point is not to make you feel guilty that, you know, you went 2 times out of 4 this month or something. That's not the point. The point is, do you desire to worship God? You know, that is that is our purpose, you know, to glorify God. And I think the big part is corporate worship. And that's not the only time. We can worship God all throughout the day, every day.
Yeah.
But there is that time of coming together as brothers and sisters in Christ, worshiping the Lord together, singing together, praying together, hearing the word read and proclaimed, celebrating the sacraments. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And the idea is just, where have I put that on my priority list?
Yeah.
You know, and so maybe that, I could see how that would be a difficult question to talk about in a group, because you could feel guilty, mm-hmm. and that's not really the point. But the point is to ask yourself, you know, kind of in the safety of this place, whether it's by myself or in this small group,
mm-hmm.
How do I understand worship?
Yeah.
And maybe that's the question we ought to ask. How do I understand worship, and what place does it have in my life?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a good rabbit trail, because it really wouldn't be a rabbit trail. It would be a very worthwhile conversation.
Absolutely. And Dale's done this for years. He's been a good steward of us in the community here at Southside. And I know there's maybe people listening from different places. But every year at the beginning of a calendar year, you've done that.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. The questions are never old. Not like, oh, I answered that, you know, 3 years ago.
Right.
Check.
Right.
It's very dynamic. And what I love is that these are challenging questions, and they should be, because this, we're talking about what's most important.
Right.
You know,
right.
Underlined, exclamation point. This is what's most important in our human life, is this relationship that we have with God, our Creator. What does that look like? And if we haven't articulated some answers to this,
mm-hmm.
We should stop whatever we're doing,
right.
and do that and respond in some way to these questions. At least we have some place to go from.
Right.
Just like if we go to the doctor, which I go to get the annual checkup.
Right.
And if you're honest, you realize like, wow, that's, mm-hmm. He'd be amiss practicing right. medicine if he didn't ask me relevant questions to my physical
right.
health.
Yeah.
And so this is even more important than that.
Right.
So I think it's very healthy to go through it. Yes, you may have like, oh gosh, I don't know. And by the way, God's not coming at us with guilt.
Right.
He's always encouraging us forward.
Right. Right.
And
it's always for our good.
Yeah.
It's never because he wakes up cranky and
yeah.
he wants to punish us. But I just had some blood work done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that stuff hopefully doesn't lie.
Yeah.
You know, and it tells me the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And this does a little bit of that, you know, where it just reveals this to us. But it ought to be, it's done in a loving atmosphere.
Yeah.
The way I would do this, by the way, is I would do this on your own first.
Mm-hmm.
Spend some time in prayerful contemplation and consideration of the answers. There's a little devotion that goes with each set of questions, and the devotion sort of hits on the theme
right.
for that particular set of questions. And there are some questions behind the right after the devotion as well that, you know, a small group may or may not have time to get to. But all of it's designed to get you thinking about that particular theme
mm-hmm.
for that part.
Right.
Answer those on your own. Really pray about it. And then when you get together in the small group, it's not the first time you're looking at it.
Right.
I mean, that's the idea. If it is, I could see why people would sort of have deer in the headlights.
That's right.
Look, you know, I don't really know how to answer this. But if
right.
you've thought about it and prayed about it, even taken time to write down some ideas that
yeah.
come to you, I think you're better able not only to be helped by the experience,
mm-hmm.
But to be a blessing for someone else
right.
who, you know, might be struggling with something that wasn't a problem for you.
Right.
So I think that's the idea.
So how do we get connected and started with this, Dale? Is this, of course, we're doing it here in
right.
the community of Southside United Methodist here in Jacksonville, Florida.
Right.
And there are ways in which you could get connected going to the website, which is sumcjacks.org.
Right.
And there'll be some connection points to get connected to a small group, as well as this podcast is on daletedder.com.
Yep.
And there's information about how to get the book.
Yeah, you know, if you go to one of the headers says bookstore,
mm-hmm.
and it just will send you to the publisher of the Spiritual Life Checkup.
Right.
And you can order it there and work through it yourself. If you're in the community here in Jacksonville, and maybe your church isn't doing something like this, but you would still like to, gosh, get in touch with us. We'd love to have you get connected here and do it with one of our small groups.
Or perhaps maybe you're in some other part of the country. You can order this book.
Right.
Don't order just one. Order five or six.
Yeah.
and invite some friends over for a Tuesday evening, and let's go through this together. And I promise you, the benefits of that and the fruit of those conversations and doing the study is well worth it.
That'd be time well spent. And not only do I think God will use it to help you grow closer with Him, but I think the time you have with your friends, I think that will be invaluable.
Absolutely. Well, I'm really looking forward to this. It's challenging. It really is challenging, but in a good way. Because where we're going is a good place.
Right.
So thank you for doing this and being a good steward in many ways, Dale. You're a good friend, a good leader, and I think you're helping us get to where God desires for us to be. So I'm looking forward to a lot of us having some really fresh experiences.
Well, thanks.
Understanding.
And for folks that are doing this here at Southside, and especially leaders, please know that your staff is praying for you. We're doing it too. We're not we're not just throwing you to the wolves, but we're doing it as well. We will be praying for you. And if there are any questions you have, please don't hesitate to let us know.
Great. Well, we look forward to next week where we're going to be pressing into the next lesson, and we'll be into, we'll have Ash Wednesday right around the corner.
That's right.
Or that's next Wednesday.
That's next Wednesday.
All right. Have a great week.
You too. Thanks. Did it stop?